Amen. I appreciate the good songs and appreciate the testimonies. I'm grateful that we have opportunity to meet together and to worship our God. And I'm grateful for the Lord's presence in my life. There's times I might not sense Him or feel Him, but He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Amen. And by the way, I thought I'd tell you tonight, He's the same God that was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He was the same God that was with Israel when He parted the Red Sea. And He's the same God that was with the Apostle Paul when the shipwreck. And He's your God, and He's my God, and He never, ever fails. I should like to ask the question tonight before I read the text. If you were to be asked this question, do you have a favorite psalm in the book of Psalms, maybe one psalm that is special to you, or some particular psalm that God has used in your life, what would it be? I'm asking a question. Anybody like to respond? Psalm 1. Amen. The blessed man. Amen. Anybody else? Well, I want to preach on one of my favorite psalms tonight. It's as elementary as could be, but this is what God's assigned for me tonight in Psalm 23. Psalm 23. And the scripture said, the Lord is. It didn't say the Lord was or the Lord will be, but He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Probably this psalm is probably repeated more often in the matter of memorial services in the death of a loved one. I remember when I was pastor at Eastside Baptist in Thomasville, Georgia, there was a lady in the church named Miriam Braswell, and she'd had cancer, and I was summoned to the hospital. And so I had visited with her for a while, and I said, Mrs. Braswell, I'd like to read some scripture and have prayer with you before I go. And she agreed. And I started to read Psalm 23. And when I got to the verse that said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, she drew her last breath and entered into the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to tell you before I get into the message tonight that there can be no shadow without a light. And He is a light. And He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so would you pray that God would speak to your heart, speak to my heart, and help me to deliver this which the Lord has impressed us with. Lord Jesus, I thank You tonight for this good psalm. Thank You, dear Lord, that You are our shepherd. And You promised that we would not want. And we testify tonight that we have not wanted. We're grateful for Your goodness and mercy. I do pray tonight that You'd remind us, dear Lord, of what You promised us for our lives and for our ministry. You said, if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. And dear Lord, I pray that You'd help us to serve You with all the strength and that we have, that You might be glorified in and through our life. I do pray for this church, Lord. You know the transition that they're in tonight. And I pray that You might manifest Your presence and power in their life. Give them direction. I plead the blood of Christ for protection over them. Dear Lord, please don't let the devil slip in a counterfeit. I pray that You might give them the man who is the person you want to be in this place. You might unite the hearts of the people together and realize that God has plan and God has a purpose and he doeth all things well. I do pray tonight for Brother Jamie as he preaches there at Victory. I pray for the anointing of God to be upon him. Bless Brother John in his church. And I do pray that you bless those who will be coming in, traveling in on tomorrow and tonight. You'd give them traveling mercies and bless the converts. I pray that you might give Brother Jacob wisdom as he moderates the meeting. We pray for one thing. We pray only for your perfect will to be done. Rebuke Satan and all his emissaries and accomplish your purpose. We pray in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake alone. Amen and amen. These are precious words. Psalm 23, the Lord is. Someone said, it's the he and me psalm. If you notice about something that he's always doing, he and me. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. For his name's sake, yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. And he said, thy rod and thy staff, they come. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Someone has suggested this, that the Psalm 23 is a psalm of the crook, the shepherd's crook. And it lies between the Psalm of the Cross, chapter 22 of Psalms, and the Psalm of the Crown in verse 24. And there's three references to our Lord Jesus as a shepherd in the New Testament. In Psalm 22, he's a good shepherd that giveth his life for the sheep. John chapter 10, verse number 11. In Psalm 24, he's a chief shepherd, and he's looking forward to the second coming of Christ. 1 Peter 5 and verse number 4. In Psalm 23, he's a great shepherd. He's keeping his flock. I'm glad that he's the one who keeps us. We can't keep, we wouldn't know the way in or the way out apart from Christ. But the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That's what the Bible said. And so I find in Psalm 23, written by a shepherd, and it's referenced in 1 Samuel 16, verse number 11. They said, there remaineth one of the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. He's a shepherd. And in the book of Ezekiel, there's reference to the matter of the shepherd and his work. And I say this, but now he's the shepherd king from Bethlehem, is become the sweet psalmist of Israel. I'm reminded that acknowledges the integrity of the Lord's heart and the skillfulness of the Lord's hands. There's just two statements I want to emphasize tonight. Now, I could preach a long time on both of them, but I'm just going to emphasize two statements. Number one, the Lord is my shepherd. Number two, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall. That's not deep, but it is deep. I'm saying to you, it's sustained us through our Christian journey. And it'll be that way all the way to heaven. So the Lord is my shepherd. And that speaks of the care of the shepherd and my security. I'm secured in him. I'm anchored in the Rock of Ages. But I have a shepherd. He might not be anybody else's shepherd, but he's my shepherd, I'm saying to you. And if you're saved by the grace of God, he's your shepherd too. And so we come back to the fact to realize that he said, the Lord's my shepherd. That's the care of the shepherd, speaking of our security. And the phrase, I shall not want, it speaks of the confidence of the sheep and our satisfaction. I'm not looking for another shepherd. I have a shepherd. His name is Jesus. The identity of the shepherd is this. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. Who's he speaking of? He's speaking of Jehovah God. He's the living one. He's a self-existent one. And he's the I am. Praise God. I'm glad I know him. He's the one which is, which was, and which is, and which shall be to come. Revelation 1, verse number 4. So Isaiah describes the might of the shepherd, of Israel's shepherd. Notice with me, Isaiah chapter 40, if you would please. In Isaiah chapter 40, I'd like to read Isaiah 40 and verse number 10 and verse number 11. And the Bible said in Isaiah 40, verse number 10, he said, behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. He shall, notice now, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with their arms and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. I'm grateful for the skillful work of our shepherd. In Psalm 80, I'm noticing Psalm 80 and verse number 1. In Psalm 80 and verse number 1, the scripture reads this way. He said in Psalm 80 and verse 1, he said, "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth." And so I'm reminded that 1,000 years later, the great I Am became the incarnate in Bethlehem. And so we hear him say in John chapter number 10 and verse number 11, he says it this way in John 10 and verse number 11. John 10 verse 11, he said this. He said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Amen. He's not a hireling. He's the good shepherd. And he said, "But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep." Now, he is our shepherd. A thousand years, I said it's past, and then the incarnate, I am in Bethlehem's manger. Listen, he takes upon him the robe of flesh. At Calvary, Zechariah 13 and verse number 7 was filled at Calvary. I'm grateful that years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not, my Lord was crucified. I'm glad I know who he is. I'm glad I know what he's done for me in the past, what he's doing today, what he's promised to do tomorrow. Yea, though I walk through, I'm not going to stumble through. I'm going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Why? He's the great shepherd. I'm reminded of the relativity of the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, and that statement permeates with confidence. If he be a shepherd to no one else but me, he is my shepherd. And I want to say this. As a shepherd, he cares for me. Does Jesus care? Oh, yes, he cares. His heart is touched with our grief. He cares about your loss. He cares about your hurt. He cares. And by the way, the devil's a liar and the father of it. He'll say that God doesn't really care. If he really cared, this wouldn't be happening to you. No. We're not exempt from the trials and troubles of life, but we have a shepherd that cares for his own. Thank God. Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. Yes, and he manifests that care in our life day by day and step by step. Then not only does he care for us, but he watches over me. He knoweth the way that I take. Job said, he knoweth the way that I take. And when I'm tried, I shall come forth as gold. He didn't say I'll come forth as a tin can. Oh, no, I'm going to come forth as gold. And you understand that we have a shepherd that cares for us, and a shepherd that watches over us, and a shepherd that preserves us. I'm grateful for the providential hand of God. I'm thankful, Brother Jacob, and the longer I live, the more I realize the providential hand of God in protecting, in providing, in manifesting what I need at that particular time. On the 20th day of November last year, my wife had collapsed at home. We'd seen the surgeons, already had seen the two surgeons that planned to do the surgery, and they was projecting a week or so later to do the surgery, but she collapsed at home. I felt so helpless, and I didn't know what to do. But it wasn't just coincidental, but our daughter had come by to be there to help my wife with some things that morning. And so she called the ambulance, and the ambulance picked her up and carried her to the emergency room at University of Tennessee Hospital. And so when they got her to the emergency room, they didn't slow down. They took her right to the surgery room. And the two surgeons that we had already counseled with was not on duty. They had another team there. That's not accidental. That's the providence of God Almighty. And so they came out and talked to me and said, now, we want you to understand that this process is a very risky process. But if she does not have this done, it will be a higher risk. And I said, sir, just do what you can do. I'll be praying that God would guide your hands. And I'm saying, the Lord is my shepherd. And so when they come back in, after the surgery is completed, and they said, well, it went a whole lot better than we expected. And I said, I know why. I know why, because I have a shepherd that's interested, and he cares for his own. He's interested. And so I'm saying, so many things that took place, you couldn't put it any other way except just God orchestrated it. He put it all together. And I'm grateful for the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And he manifests his presence, and he shows us his glory, and he's accomplishing his purpose in your life. And then I don't know where you're hurting tonight, but I'm suspicious that there's hurt in this building tonight in the hearts of God's people. But there's a God in heaven that's watching over you. He cares about your hurt. He cares about the need that you have in your life. Do you think he cares about Unity Baptist Church? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And God, the same God that brought to you Brother Jacob, can bring to you some other brother. I don't know who that would be. I don't have any foresight in that, but I know this. I know that God does not make a mistake. He does not tear down one church to build up another church. Amen. And so keep your eyes upon the Lord and recognize this, that he doeth all things well, and standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. Hallelujah. And you'll be rejoicing in your heart for what God has done and God is doing and God has promised to do. I'm talking about the matter of God's care. He cares for me. He watches over me. He preserves me. He's the creator. According to Isaiah 40 and verse number 20, he knows every one of his sheep by name. John chapter 10 and verse number 3. He knows and he cares for us as individuals, as he provided for Jacob in the Old Testament. And so then I see the activity of the shepherd. Let me emphasize just a little, two or three little things about the activity of our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's saying the whole chapter. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And he said, he maketh me to lie down. A sheep will not lie down if they're hungry. And so he maketh us to lie down, not in the bramble patch, but in, hallelujah. He maketh us to lie down in green pastures. Amen. I'm thankful for the green pastures. Grateful for the green pastures. And so the Lord is my shepherd. And as a shepherd, his work is all embracing. And so notice with me, if you would please, that his work is, the activity of the shepherd is that that includes faithfulness. Again, Brother Ernest, I've been impressed in my heart and been reminded of the faithfulness of our God. Our God has been faithful. There's been times that I have not been faithful, but bless the name of God, he's always been faithful. The 1 Thessalonians 5:22 said, faithful is he that calleth you who will also do it. And so the God who created the universe is your God. He's your shepherd, and he knows what you have need of, and he will supply that need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And so I'm reminded of this activity of the shepherd. I see his faithfulness. Jacob describes his shepherd work as follows. Genesis chapter 31. Notice with me, Genesis chapter number 31. And let me see if I can find that spot. Genesis number 31, and I used to mark all my Bible verses, my reference verses, and then folks got complaining because they couldn't keep up, and so I took the paper clips out. But Genesis 31, notice with me verse number 38. The Bible said, these 20 years have I been with thee, thy ewes and the she-goats have not cast their young, and the rams of thy flock have I not eaten. He's saying, what's he saying? He's talking about God knows and he cares for us individually. Jacob knew that. He said, here's what God did. It wasn't something I did, it's what God did. And so understand, it includes the faithfulness of God. It includes the watchfulness of God. And I'm right, Paul describes a shepherd's work in the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 29 through 31. And it also includes tenderness. I'm glad that God deals with us tenderly. The tenderness of heart, tenderness of heart and hand. Isaiah continues his description in Isaiah chapter 40. In Isaiah chapter 40, and let's look at verse number 10 and verse number 11 of Isaiah chapter 40. The Bible said, behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for them. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd, and he shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. That's what God's got. He's our shepherd. And I say it includes his watchfulness. It includes his tenderness. And so I'm just saying, I've noted again and again the he and me, what God's doing for us. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down. That includes fearlessness. And John chapter 10, verse 12. Listen, David speaks back in 1 Samuel chapter 17, and he's talking about the fearlessness of our God. It includes skillfulness. David was guided. He guided the flock by the skillfulness of his hands. That's what God does for us. Psalm 78, verse 72. And so no wonder David continues with these following words. He's talking about the Lord is my shepherd. And so he continues on and said, I shall not want. I'm glad that Washington's not my shepherd. I'm glad that man is not my shepherd. I'm glad that I have a heavenly Father that watches over me. And I say that it's to recognize this. No wonder David continues with the following: I shall not want. The confidence of the sheep, and it speaks of our satisfaction. I'm grateful that the holy count was settled long ago, and it's settled in my heart. I'm thankful for the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And it's that the prodigal, when he left the father's house and went into the far country, he said, I perish with hunger. But a sheep couldn't say that, because we have a shepherd that provides for our daily, our constant need. And he's concerned about Unity Baptist Church. He's concerned about every member. He's concerned about every minute detail. And God is our shepherd, and we shall not want. You won't want for a pastor. You won't want for a leadership. You won't want want for any other thing that pertains to that which is God's will for your life. And so I come back. The prodigal began to be in want, and he said, I perish with hunger. No man gave to him. He's deserted. And I see again, but every member of Christ, we're spoken of as a little flock. In the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 32. And then back in Psalm 34, verse 9 and 10. But in Philippians 4, 19, he said, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I know churches tonight that's been without a pastor well over a year. And by the way, God could give you a pastor next week. But don't get impatient. God works all things together for our good and for his glory. And sometimes God does not answer the prayers we think we need is because we're not ready for what God has in store. And so he works on both ends. He'll prepare you to follow the leadership of another. And I know that's tough, buddy. After you've had a pastor that you love and you follow him, you've seen that God use him. And now I said this. I was surprised. I was surprised in one sense of the word, but in another sense of the word, I wasn't surprised. You see, God is the one that does a setting up. God is the one who does the directing. And it's God's ministry, whether it be here or whether it be in Lexington, North Carolina. It's God's business. Amen. And so God has a plan. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Depend upon your shepherd. Lean strong upon your shepherd. He is the one who will watch over the. And so he said, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. It's not a rough command. It's a tender command. I say the words are gentle. It is the Lord who graciously enables us to perceive the preciousness of His truth and to feed upon it. And so I come back to this verse again. And there's times when I get as low down as a snake in a wagon track and I need encouragement. And I have no other preacher to encourage me. And I don't have anybody close to me to encourage me. But I'm grateful for the encouragement that I get from this psalm. I'm reminded that the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. And He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. The words are gentle. It is the Lord who graciously enables us to perceive that preciousness of the truth and to feed upon it. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, is what the Bible said. It's not that He maketh me to stop by and get an occasional mouthful. No. It's not that He maketh me to charge through like a stamping cattle. No, He maketh me to lie down. He maketh me to feed in green pastures. It's not that He maketh me to sit down in green pastures. He maketh me to feed in green pastures. And so, but He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, what the Bible says. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. So a hungry sheep will not lie down. The sheep has well fed, and now he lies down, and that brings great satisfaction. Amen. And then He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. It's not a barren place. It's not a dry pasture. It's not a scorched pasture, but it's green pastures. He makes me to lie down in grass. And so the Word of God, are you listening? The Word of God is our green pasture. It's always fresh, and it's always rich, and it is never exhausted. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall. He restoreth my soul. Why? For His name's sake. Only four times in the Scripture is that phrase used, for His name's sake. Twice in the book of Psalms and twice in John's epistles. But He maketh me to, listen, He hath redeemed us for His name's sake. He's delivered us as He delivered Israel for His name's sake. I'm saying, and He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, He said in verse number 3, He said, He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Why? For His name's sake, for His reputation's sake. He's my God, and He never changes, and He's my shepherd, and He leads us in the right direction. And so they're green pastures. They're always fresh and always rich and never exhausted. There's no want of peace. No want of peace. He said this. He makes me lie down in green pastures, leads me beside the still. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And so this is that He and me. You notice what He's doing. He seemed to be doing something in every verse. It's a matter of, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I feel no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table. So He leads me beside still waters. I preach over for Brother Andy Lockhart, and I stay in a little... I guess it would be called a resort area, but it's called Still Waters. And they've got a little pond out there, and it's very peaceful and very quiet. There's something about the matter of the still waters. They're not going to drink from the running water, but the still waters. Now, the recurring words, He and me, the sheep is watching the shepherd all the time. But not only that, he sees how every verse tells us what He's doing. It may not always see our shepherd, but he'll always hear the shepherd's voice. We're listening. So I said, I read, God don't say anything to me, but you need to start listening. God does speak to us, and He speaks to us primarily through His Word. And so the still waters are waters of quietness and waters of rest, and leads me beside. Now, He didn't say He leads us in the still waters. He said He leads us beside the still waters. And so He leadeth me beside the still waters, not to the still waters and then stop, but He leads me beside the still waters. And we do not stay there, but they are important, a very important part on our journey. He is our shepherd. And so I'm saying it this way. He was with Mary and Martha in their time of grief. And he leads me beside still waters, not just beside raging torrent or a mighty river, but he leads me beside the still waters. And so we find rest and we find refreshment as the calm and serenity of his presence quietens our heart and our minds. And the psalmist put it this way: God is our refuge and a very present help in time of need. It might not be at the hospital. It might not be under some extreme emergency, but God manifests himself as our shepherd, and that gives us security. It makes us want to charge hell with a water pistol. Why? I'm saying God is our shepherd. And he said, I shall not want. I don't know what your need is tonight, but I know this. I want to report to you that the same God that was with the Hebrew children is with you, and the God that was with the children of Israel at the Red Sea is with you, and that God never changes. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. There's times I become confused, but he's never been confused. There's times when I wonder, but he never wonders. I'm grateful that I can report to you tonight as a church and as my brothers and sisters in Christ that there's a God in heaven that knows exactly where you are. And he's still your shepherd. And listen, God might move his servants, but he's still your shepherd. And so don't flee the flock. Stay put. Bloom where you're planted. And recognize this, that God has a plan. If he has a plan for Brother Jacob, he has a plan for unity. And so as you approach all these decisions that you'll be making in the days ahead, listen, unify together. And recognize this, that God and God alone is able to supply that need that you have, because he is your shepherd and we shall not want. Amen. Thank you, Brother Pastor.